Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice and sunny outside, and one of the sunny days between the storms, I'm afraid. But it's good to have you here today, and I know there's several folks in the kitchen that hopefully will be coming in for worship as well. It is a special day as we have our annual business meeting downstairs. But prior to that, we'll be worshiping together, celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And as we leave here today, you are invited to share in a Super Bowl of Caring offering. We'll hear a little bit more about that in a little while. But there will be mission board members at the exits ready to receive your offerings for that. But I want to call your attention to the inside back cover of the bulletin, which is the calendar for this week. And I'm not going to read it to you, but do just want to call your attention to it. I do want to point out that we are scheduled to have an Ash Wednesday service here at the church at noontime on Wednesday, and I hate to say it, but weather permitting. And same thing with Bible study on Tuesday, weather permitting. If there's any doubt, I guess call the church office if we don't get you called as far as either of those programs this week. There will be a lunch provided by the deacons after the Ash Wednesday service. I say weather permitting, and if you've had a chance, most of you haven't seen the annual report booklet yet, but we had to cancel last year's Ash Wednesday service because of weather, and it's not sounding real good for this week either, but we'll see. But do just, you know, call your attention to those announcements. If you're on a board or committee, do want to, you know, point that out and make sure that you attend if you are on something that needs to be meeting in the next few days. Our retired ministers and missionaries offering that we did conclude in January, we've received a total of $607 towards our goal of $500. So thank you to all who contributed to that. Mentioned the Super Bowl of Caring, which will be going to Bread of Life. We ask a dollar or more be placed in the soup pots. And also the Habitat for Humanity International Food Fair was held yesterday. And members of Global Ark with Global Ark Baptist Church, along with us, provided food for a Korean table. And Marilyn reported to me that the total of $183 in value was made for Habitat. So thank you to all who helped with that. This time I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 118 for our responsive call to worship. We're reading verses from two of Paul's different letters, so let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ.
In him we have redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of sins in accordance with God's grace.
Thanks be to God for his Jesus Christ, my gift.
Our opening hymn is I Will Sing of My Redeemer, number 130. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only, and those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his glory. Free.
Let's pray together. Holy and redeeming God, as Moses lifted high the serpent in the wilderness, so Jesus was also lifted up for the salvation of the world. As we gather today, we remember your loving and redeeming acts toward us. In these moments of worship, communicate with us and give us a message we most need to hear, so that we may respond to you with love and faithfulness. We ask all of this in Christ's name, and we now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. And I'm going to use the same prompt that I used last week as far as talking about the Super Bowl of Caring. And Joe McCurry was so nice to set this up for us again. And so we know there's a football game going on later this afternoon, and some people are all into it, some aren't quite as much as the Patriots aren't involved. But anyway, Joe's always set this up for us as a reminder. And we're participating in a Super Bowl as well, but our Super Bowl is, the soup is spelled a little differently. And if you put it in, anytime you type it, if you put it in your spell check, it always comes up as an error. But it's soup, S-O-U-P-E-R, talking about food. And while there have been ads and for food and party platters, and I know some folks are going to parties this afternoon, and what time is the annual meeting going to be done? Do I have time? Kickoff's not until almost 6:30, so you got plenty of time to get it. Yeah, but the party starts. The coverage starts, I think, at 2:30 this afternoon, I think I heard. You might not make it home for the very beginning of the coverage, but you'll be home plenty of time for the game and all the ads that are involved in the game as well. But we're thinking about, we think about soup, and we're going to have soup for lunch today before our annual business meeting. We think about the people that won't be going to parties today, those that don't have enough to eat on any day, let alone the hors d'oeuvres and the party platter. They just don't have enough nutritious food to keep going. And especially over the weekends, really tough times, especially with kids in school. If they get... they get lunch, and sometimes they get breakfast in school. That helps out the family income, and that they have more to eat other times. But so we're remembering that, and the money's going to be going to Bread of Life. So I encourage you to suggestion is $1, but if you can afford two or three or five or 10 or 20, we'll take it all. It will all go to Bread of Life, and they will be supporting it and helping those folks who are hungry in our greater Moline area. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of having entertainment, which our sports teams tend to do that, entertain us. And for some of us, it's big business. It's a time to get together with friends and family. And Lord, as we get together this afternoon, for many of us, help us to remember those who will not be at parties, those that may be hungry, those that may be outside cold. And Lord, we pray that we may be generous this morning, and remembering them with our dollars and our bills, our coins, and just, supporting them through Bread of Life. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And Rosalyn is ready to teach. If anybody, Naomi, if you want to go out or not. No? Up to you. Okay. Oh, okay, there's some of the kids in the back. Great. So there are some kids for Sunday school this morning. Thank you.
time of sharing our celebrations and concerns, and we've been praying for Dottie Ladd the last couple Sundays where she's been suffering from the flu. Dave said that she's feeling a little better today, but very weak still, but thinking of the infection may be gone, but just the recuperation time. And so we want to continue to keep Dottie Ladd in prayer and pray that she'll regain her strength quickly. And we want to keep Jackie May in prayer, as Jackie's at home with hospice care and family, you know, around her as well. So I want to keep Jackie in prayer. Also, we want to keep Joe Reardon's mom, that's Joy Nowak's mother-in-law, in prayer. Her name is Sheila. Fell this week and broke her vertebrae and began surgery. So we want to keep Sheila in prayer today as well. We want to keep those who have been affected by the snow. Can't get out, or they don't feel it's safe to get out because of the ice and snow. Those folks in prayer today. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns?
For Chris, he starts a new job tomorrow.
Wonderful.
In Boston.
Peggy's grandson, Chris, starts a new job.
Starts a new job
in Boston. So I want to keep Chris in prayer and those that are starting new jobs and transitions. Naomi?
My mom started her new job yesterday.
Oh, great. Okay. So Genevieve started a new job too. So keep her in prayer as well. Anybody else? Richard.
Our granddaughter Emily is in Paris right now on a student exchange. Her father said, well, you can go, but just don't join ISIS.
So it's been relatively an unstable area.
He was very nervous about her going. He did relent and let her go.
Is that 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. So I'll keep Emily.
Left Friday.
I'll keep Emily in prayer because she's in foreign exchange. Very exciting, but also, you know, maybe a little safer spot than I've been, but there's a lot of spots there.
Suburbs.
Yeah, that's good.
Paris suburbs.
Maybe I also have a prayer request. They want to keep the Harps family in prayer. Dave lost his dad almost 2 weeks. I want to keep the Harp family in prayer during this time of mourning as well. Any other requests for prayer? Marilyn, I'm sorry. Yes, welcome back to Marilyn. Marilyn was on vacation last week.
Thank you for your prayers. I got home in a snowstorm. Anyway, my friend Judy is not doing very well. Judy Olson Perry just wanted to have you folks remember her too.
So I keep Judy Olson Perry in prayer today as well. A lot of health issues. Any other requests? Not then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together this morning to worship you. We realize, you know, it's a little slippery underfoot for some, but we are thankful for our safe arrival here. Lord, we remember those who are staying inside because of the fear of falling, which is a very real danger for many. We just pray for those that feel that they're housebound right now, Lord. Just, you know, we realize that our winter has been rather mild so far. And we just pray for those that are, you know, affected by the snow. We just pray for they will be able to get out soon. Lord, we pray for those who are ill today. We mentioned some who are injured, some who are just, you know, have illnesses. And just, Lord, we lift them up to you and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We thank you for those who have knowledge and skill and are able to care for us when our bodies are broken or diseased. And especially for those whose minds become damaged in some way, that, you know, there are those that can help us. And we thank you for those people who minister to us in our time of need. Lord, we've heard of new jobs by some people, and we celebrate that and celebrate with them and pray that these may be a time of productivity for them, maybe a time of new beginnings. And Lord, while we're still relatively new in this new year, we are looking at new beginnings. We pray for those who are in transition. Just lift them up. And Lord, we know that you can remain a constant in our lives when things change around us, that we can place our anchor in you, that you will hold us and support us as we are buffeted by the changes that take place in our lives. Lord, we're mindful today as we will celebrate the Lord's Supper today of your great love for us and sending Jesus to be among us, and most importantly, that Jesus died for us. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for his sacrifice. And it's in his name that we lift all these prayers. Amen. Communion Sunday, we do receive two different offerings on Communion Sundays. This first offering we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of the congregation. So this time the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
But you shall not die.
Lord, we thank you for your promise that you will always be with us and go before us, and that we should not be afraid. Lord, that's good news for many. And Lord, we pray that we may be wise stewards of the blessings that are presented here this morning, as well as all of your blessings to us, that we may share that message to a hurting world. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning. The next hymn will be singing verses 1, 2, and 5 only. Let's stand. Scripture lesson comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. And Paul writes in the first person plural as we. And so I went back, and the beginning of the letter talks about the letter coming from he and Timothy. And I think he's also talking about some other comrades and that he has been with and have participated with him in ministry. So he writes, beginning at verse 16 of chapter 5, "From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in this way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin,
who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything." May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from the Apostle Paul this morning, that Christ came to offer newness, a change. Lord, we need that in our lives at times as well. We pray that our hearts and minds may be open this morning to receive a message from you that will be fresh, that will meet some need in our lives, that will help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know what's in your wallet? That's a catchphrase from a popular TV ad for a particular credit card company from a few years ago. Statistics show that the average American carries 4 different credit cards in his or her wallet, on which is owed a median of $1,700. But that varies widely. I was looking at statistics a couple weeks ago, and varies from that up to almost $6,000. But most of them were around $1,700. In fact, the average American consumer has 13 current credit obligations listed on his or her official credit report, owing money on everything from cars to furniture to education to, you fill in the blank, whatever. Buying things on credit, enjoying it now and paying for it later, seems to be the American way. Even if you don't have a credit card, and roughly 29% of Americans don't have a credit card, it's still possible to have instant gratification with delayed remuneration. A concept called bill me later has become popular on e-commerce sites. It allows consumers to purchase items and then receive an old-fashioned bill in the mail a few weeks later, which is different from layaway, which you pay a little bit at a time, and then you get your product at the end. This is, you get it, and you get billed afterwards. The problem, though, with bill me later mentality is that it puts the consumer in a serious bind. As credit bills mount, consumers find themselves locked deeper and deeper in the crushing grip of debt. The actual cost of that $15 movie we went to and charged with plastic 6 months ago, for example, can now cost exponentially more than that amount as interest rates ratchet up the final amount. Faced with mounting debts and no ability to pay them, many people are forced to file for bankruptcy. It's no wonder that Ambrose Bierce once defined debt as an ingenious substitute for the chain and whip of the slave driver. As long as we're in debt, somebody else owns our assets. Rack up enough debt and we can reach a point where it hardly seems worth to try to dig ourselves out. Fortunately, many people have awakened to the fact that debt is something that they want to avoid. Consumers have taken the radical step of performing plastic surgery by cutting up their credit cards and living below their means, and they're finding a new sense of freedom in that action. Sometimes it takes a time of crisis to force us to act responsibly and to view our needs and wants differently than before. But release from debt opens up new opportunities and a new way of life. Relief from financial debt is something we all desire. But release from spiritual debt is even more liberating. Spiritual debt is incurred by sin, by self-indulgent living, by conforming to hyper-consumptive lifestyles of the world. It's a kind of debt that's even more insidious than a credit card bill because we don't often realize we're racking it up until we come to a crisis point, a serious illness, a significant loss, a change in life circumstances. When we choose to live outside of regular obedience to God, seeing everything we are and everything we have as belonging to God, we can suddenly and tragically realize that we've sold ourselves to the slavery of sin. Given that reality, bill me later is not good financial strategy, nor is it good spiritual practice. We never know when God's going to collect. That's the dilemma that the Apostle Paul seems to be addressing to the Corinthians in the letter and the verses that we read today. The truth is that we're all in debt to God because of our sinfulness. It's a debt so deep that we can't possibly pay off it through good deeds or righteous living. Knowing that, it would be easy for us to simply throw in our hands up and stop trying. When we're enslaved to the debt of sin, we might think it easier to just keep running up the tab, like some people do with their finances. When we don't believe we're worth anything, and we have nothing and are nothing, why bother changing? Sin puts us in a tough spot. But the Apostle Paul, acting like an enthusiastic first century debt counselor, offers some good news to spiritual debtors. Imagine, if you will, that someone paid off all your financial debts in full, that your credit report went from 500 to 850 immediately, instantaneously. That's essentially what Paul says has happened to our spiritual debts. With the coming of Christ and through his death on the cross on our behalf, there is a new creation. The old life of sin and death has passed away, and the debt has been paid off through Jesus Christ. In Jesus, God was reconciling us to himself, erasing the ledger of sin against us, and instead offering us a clean slate. How new and refreshing that is. The debt-relieving work that God had done in Christ, though, was work that needed to be implemented. Notice had to be given to all the debtors that the work had been done. That's where Paul and his companions come in. They had been sent by God not to be judgmental bill collectors, but to be ambassadors who spread the good news. God had entrusted Paul and his friends with the ministry of reconciliation, of being bridges, bringing people back in a relationship to God. Something new happened in Christ. Thus, something new must happen in response as well. In much of the ancient world, people were driven by the fear of angering the gods, the multiple gods that they worshipped. And here came Paul with quite a different message, that the one true creator God is renewing his good creation and wants to be in relationship with humans. The separation between God and humanity had been bridged in the death and resurrection of Jesus. God had come among us to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, seeking reconciliation before judgment. It's no wonder that the Corinthians thought Paul was a little strange. He was proclaiming a whole new world, very different from what they were used to. God's reconciling act in Christ requires a response, however. God offers us a free gift, a release from our spiritual debts, a new life. God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's a gift that we must accept, however. God has reconciled us to himself, and now we must be reconciled to God. God offers it, but we have to accept it. Accepting that gift is not just an exercise in belief or an excuse to start running up more debt. That would mean the gift was in vain. Rather, Paul urges the Corinthians and urges us to pay off our end of the deal now, not waiting until sometime later. Now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation, Paul wrote. The sooner we accept the gift of grace that God is offering, the sooner we can begin to live a life as a new creation. Paul and his companions had carried this message of debt-free living to a world at great cost to themselves. And that's what we were reading in those final verses that I read. Yet the change that their message offered to a debt-laden world was dramatic. Paul's missionary team may have been poor themselves in terms of coinage and by society standards, but their message was designed to make many rich in God's grace, proving that it was possible to have nothing according to the world's standards, yet possessing everything in relationship with a generous and self-sacrificing God. On this Communion Sunday, we recognize that when it comes to the world's standards, we too may really have nothing. All of the stuff we have collected in our lives will eventually go to someone else. We come into the world with nothing, and we leave with nothing. We have amassed a debt of sin that we owe, and that at death the bill comes due. While that can be a depressing load, facing the reality of sin and mortality can bring us to a decision point, a creative crisis. The more we recognize the depth of our spiritual indebtedness, the more we begin to realize the incredible gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ, who releases us through his sacrifice on our behalf. Our debt has been stamped, paid in full in Christ's blood. When we sign off on that with our own signature of acceptance, we can begin to see the new creation that's breaking through in us. We love it when we finally pay off a financial debt like a car loan or a mortgage payment. And there's a finality to seeing the stamp on a loan payment paid in full. That's the final finality, the kind of helpful that we can have for our sins also. Christ has paid for them in full. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, the message we've heard today from you, that our sins have been paid for in full, it's such wonderful news. But Lord, we realize that our sins have been paid for by a dear price. We recognize that while the slate is clean for us and we can be renewed in a new creation, Lord, we're very sorry for what we have done. We pray, Lord, that we will have the strength to not do the same thing again. That with this clean slate we may be fresh and we may turn again and follow you. Lord, as we approach the Lenten season, we pray that it may be a time of introspection, a time of looking inside, a time of evaluating our relationship with you. Lord, we pray that as you are reaching out to us, that we may reach out to you as well, and that we may grab hold of the gift that you offer to us. Lord, we pray now that you would prepare our hearts and our minds as we move to the communion table, so we remember Christ's sacrifice for us and the teaching that he gave to us. We ask this all in his most precious name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is "What a Wonderful Savior," number 154. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only.
Now please join me in reading of our church covenant. Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love,
remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of ordinances of the Church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers in the name of His Son.
Jesus is the host at our communion table. And as the host, He invites each one of us with words like this. Do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross, dying for you, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven, and am preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, and Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for Jesus invites all believers to the table. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we come to the table, and we've heard the invitation from Jesus. And Lord, we know that we do not measure up. There's not a seat guaranteed there for us because of our good behavior and our perfect thoughts and words. Lord, we come as sinners, people who make mistakes, people who do things that go against your will. Lord, we pray in these moments now, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware of and pray for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do pray now that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse our hearts, purify our souls, wipe the slate clean, that we may have a new beginning. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We are mindful, when we move to the upper room, the last night that Jesus was alive here on earth, and he was spending a Passover meal, celebrating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus took the bread from the table, a common part of that meal, and gave thanks to God for the bread, but gave new meaning for the bread for his disciples that were gathered there that night. He began talking to them and said, this bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread.
broken bread, symbolizing Christ's broken body. Broken, that we may be whole. Let us eat in remembrance of him. As the meal continued, Jesus and his disciples in that upper room, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks to God for the cup, began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it. But again gave new words for this cup that was part of the Passover meal. This cup, Jesus said, represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Cup symbolizing Christ's blood, blood shed on the cross, blood that paid the price for our sins, that we might be new people, that we might have new life, life abundant. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be broken, your blood to be shed, that we might have life. We might be whole people, that our debts would be paid in full. Lord, we thank you for that sacrifice. We pray that we might live lives that reflect our gratitude for your sacrifices, and that we may live holy lives supporting you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us that the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn is number 732. We sing in verse 1 only.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, who loves us and freed us from our sins, grant us grace, mercy, and peace. May the joy of Christ's sustaining presence be with us now and forever. Amen.